It's getting hard to locate my bed at night. Have to crawl around on my hands and knees, feeling underneath the springs till I find my gobs of gum stuck there. Nobody complains about all the fog. I know why now. As bad as it is, you can slip back in it and feel safe. That's what McMurphy can't understand, us wanting to be safe. He keeps trying to drag us out of the fog, out in the open, where we'd be easy to get at. There's a shipment of frozen parts coming downstairs, hearts and kidneys and brains and the like. I can hear them rumble into cold storage down the coal chute. A guy sitting in the room someplace I can't see is talking about a guy up undisturbed killing himself. Old Roller. Cut both nuts off and bled to death, sitting right on the can in the latrine. Half a dozen people in there with him didn't know it till he fell off to the floor, dead. What makes people so impatient is what I can't figure. All the guy had to do was wait. I know how they work at the fog machine. We had a whole platoon used to operate fog machines around airfields overseas. Whenever intelligence figured there might be a bombing attack, or if the generals had something secret they wanted to pull, out of sight, hid so good that even the spies on the base couldn't see what went on, they fogged the field. It's a simple rig. You got an ordinary compressor, sucks water out of one tank and a special oil out of another tank, and compresses them together. And from the black stem at the end of the machine blooms a white cloud of fog that can cover a whole airfield in 90 seconds. The first thing I saw when I landed in Europe was the fog these machines make. There were some interceptors close after our transport, and soon as it hit the ground, the fog crew started up the machines. We could look out the transport's round, scratched windows and watch the jeeps draw the machines up close to the plane and watch the fog boil out till it rolled across the field and stuck against the windows like wet cotton. You found your way off the plane by following a little referee's horn the lieutenant kept blowing. Sounded like a goose honking. Soon as you were out of the hatch, you couldn't see no more than maybe 3 feet in any direction. You felt like you were out on that airfield all by yourself. You were safe from the enemy, but you were awfully alone. Sounds died and dissolved after a few yards, and you couldn't hear any of the rest of your crew. Nothing but that little horn squeaking and honking out of a soft furry whiteness, so thick that your body just faded into white below the belt. Other than that brown shirt and brass buckle, you couldn't see nothing but white. Like from the waist down, you were being dissolved by the fog, too. And then some guy wandering as lost as you would all of a sudden be right before your eyes, his face bigger and clearer than you ever saw a man's face before in your life. Your eyes were working so hard to see in that fog that when something did come in sight, every detail was 10 times as clear as usual. So clear, both of you had to look away. When a man showed up, you didn't want to look at his face, and he didn't want to look at yours, because it's painful to see somebody so clear that it's like looking inside him. But then, neither did you want to look away and lose him completely. You had a choice. You could either strain and look at things that appeared in front of you in the fog, painful as it might be, or you could relax and lose yourself.